Hello and welcome to the Displaced African podcast. The Displaced African is the African immigrant's personal development blog. It can be found at www.thedisplacedafrican.com. This is Mwangi here. It's about 4 in the morning. I hope you're having a great day, night, evening, wherever you are. This is my interview, which I've been postponing for a long time, with STL, aka Stella Mwangi. And before I get to the interview, I just wanted to tell you real quick what's coming up. I have a lot of interviews I've done behind the scenes and a lot more that I have lined up. So among the interviews coming up soon, I have an interview with a guy by the name of Derek Ashong. And if you don't know who that is, just go to YouTube, type A-S-H-O-N-G and Barack Obama and watch his fantastic video about that. I got to interview him. I also got to interview a great lady who I know here who started up a nursing agency and recently successfully sold it and went home with a nice package of money. In addition to that, I also have an interview with a guy by the name of Kirk Nugent. Now, if you don't know who Kirk Nugent is, just go again to YouTube and type Pursue Your Passion. And Nugent is N-U-G-E-N-T. Absolutely fantastic interviews coming up. All that and a lot more. I'm speaking with Linda from Capital about doing some more work with her, so let's see how that goes. Secondly, I did not edit this interview, though I did, of course, conduct the interview. I didn't edit it, so I wanted to thank the person who helped me with the editing, Jackie. Happy birthday. May you live to have many more. Thank you so, so much for doing this. And finally, I just wanted to give you a few words about Stella, aka STL. The way I first heard about Stella was from YouTube. I often go onto YouTube and, you know, look around to see what the latest Kenyan music is, and I saw that she was one of those people who was really being spoken about, like, you know, she was the next big thing and very well respected woman on African music and particularly in Kenyan music scene. And then when I went to her MySpace page, I was really impressed. You know, she had all these live shows, she was opening for all these international acts, Paul Wall, Busta Rhymes, and all these great American acts who are very big and successful worldwide. And what really caught my attention was when I saw that she actually went to Norway when she was 4, and that this music was like an outlet and an escape for her. So I knew that I wanted to interview her because a lot of you probably have heard the interview that I did with my little sisters. My sisters are here. One is 14, one is 11. So I just wanted to know how this immigrant experience affects children and, you know, share it with you people. And when I initially wanted to interview STL, those are the two things I wanted to do: talk about the music and talk about how the immigrant experience affects you across different age groups. She was there as a child, she was there as a teenager, and now she's there as a young adult. That's initially how I wanted it to be. But Stella was a very intelligent woman, very insightful. So it actually got to a point where I just shut up, let my agenda go, and just let her speak. And I think the coolest thing I took away from this interview was how she actually became big in Kenya. Well, she initially went to Kenya. Actually, no, I'll let you listen, but in short, this it's a lesson about tenacity and knowing what you want and going for it in spite of what happens. So I hope you enjoy this interview. Stella, I hope it does you justice. Enjoy. All right. So this is Mwangi here, and I'm here with Rap Sensation, Stella, okay. Mwangi, a.k.a. STL. So how are you today, Stella?
I'm very fine. How are you?
I am very well. So
that's great.
You're very excited today. That's nice. That's good.
I'm always excited though. I just went to the studio, so
you feed off the energy in the studio.
Yeah, all the time.
All right. So tell people who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Stella Mwangi, aka STL. I am a female MC based in Norway, born in Kenya. I'm Kenyan.
Okay. So how do you remember any of the years you're in Kenya?
Oh, yeah, of course, but I was there in 2005 and 2006 and in 98, so I'm basically there quite often, though.
Oh, so you visit quite often?
Yeah, I'm there quite often because I've released a single there, a compilation CD. I've also won the Kisima Award for the most promising artist.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, I'm so excited.
But do you remember, like, your childhood before you left for the first time?
Well, I was 4 years old when I left Kenya. And, I mean, All I can remember, actually, because I was really crybaby after my grandmother. That's basically what I can remember. I love being with my grandparents. Don't have any, like, bad memories or anything. So it was all good, actually.
Ah, cool. And so you arrived in Norway in 91, is that correct?
Yeah, in 91.
All right, and what are your first memories of being in Norway?
Okay, my father has some political things going around in Kenya, so we have to move the country. It's basically like that. I don't want to go into details or anything, though, if that's okay.
No, that's fine, that's fine. But for you, yeah. for you personally, how were things for you personally?
It was like, at first I was like 5 years old, so everything was all good. But we moved to a place called Eidsvoll, like an hour from the capital city. So there were actually no immigrants there, there were only Norwegians, yeah? So we got quite a good attention around there. But what I can remember, when I started school, when I started first grade, that's when I, like, really realized, like, oh, shit, I'm really different, you know? Because kids were really looking at me and, like, you know, back then it was really, like, common here in Norway to call like, Africans niggers, you know?
Yeah.
So I got that quite often, and it was a hard time for me, actually. It was.
And how did you learn the language?
I was a kid, you know, so things went, you know, really, I catched up the language really quick. It was quite easy, but Norwegian is, I've come to learn that it's really a difficult language, so. Yeah, but it went actually pretty easy for me, though, so.
And did you learn your own language? Like, did you learn Kikuyu?
Yeah, of course, you know, my father, like, because after school, every day, from Monday to Friday, he used to teach me and my sister and my brother, Kikuyu. He had gotten this 2 hours of free lunch from the school, right?
Yep.
So we were, like, basically, after school, always sitting, still at the classroom, waiting for my dad to come so he can teach us Kikuyu. Then I was like, oh, my God, this is really, like, like too much,
imagine.
You know? Yeah, but I really thank him because he was really tough on us. I'm like, don't think he came here to Norway to be Norwegian. So I really thank him for that because now I can actually go back to Kenya, talk Kikuyu with my grandparents and actually have no problem because it was really important for my father that, like, we don't forget where we come from.
Yeah.
And I really thank him for that because, like, my music is really based, I mean, if you listen to my lyrics, it's all about, like, you know, okay, mostly it's about me being Kenyan. I'm going back home to Kenya and stuff like that. It's really like it defines who I am today, and I really thank him for that.
God, that's pretty amazing. And did you learn Kiswahili as well?
Yeah, I learned Kiswahili, but I'm actually betting Kikuyu. Okay, like I understand Swahili and I can talk it, but not as fluent as I should. But you know, but it doesn't really matter because I can talk and I can understand Swahili. But with my grandparents, I have to talk Kikuyu, so it's all good.
And how did the Kiswahili get in? I'm assuming your father didn't have like those 2 hour sessions for Kiswahili. So how did it seep in?
To tell the truth, it was more than 2 hours. I think it was like 3 hours. And you can imagine, like, 4 days every week. Every week. So we had to learn everything. And this was like, we had lessons like for years since I was 8 to 11. I mean, like, no, 7 to 11. Yeah, it was for many years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to catch up a lot.
Oh.
So that wasn't a problem. Yeah.
And if you were to say, like, there was one emotion that you felt the most, what emotion would you say it was as an African kid growing up in Norway?
At first, I really didn't know who I was. He was both hard, and then my father was, like, really hard on us, so we had to work, like, double. So, and then I also felt that I came here for a reason, you see? So, I mean, there's a lot of emotions out there that I really can't explain in only three sentences or three words. But basically, it's all good because I've learned so much. I've learned a lot, and I've learned how to be strong, and I've learned who I am. But strong in standing up for myself, knowing I'm all right. I mean, like, if I didn't move here in Norway, I don't think I could have known all about how it is really to be black, you know? Basically that.
And who are you?
I'm Stella Mwangi. I'm an artist. I'm an artist. I create music. And through my music, I want to spread joy. And I want to spread love. I want to make people dance on their feet when they really should be crying, you know? I want to have a message through my music.
You're a passionate girl, I'll give you that.
Thank you for that.
No problem. So your teenage years, how were your teenage years? Going to high school as an African kid, you've been there a while.
It was tough. I had to, once again, stand up for myself, you know, because I think at that time, parents weren't really, like, teaching their children that there are other people around the world that look different and talk different and walk different. So I had to, like, defend myself, you know. And basically, that's why I'm really passionate about music, because music saved me a lot. Because through music, I really just felt that, okay, I could come into my world and write lyrics in a way to make people listen without having to, like, fight for it. Start a, like, World 3 war, you know? So I had a good time because music made me smile a lot and made me, like, know who I am, you know? Coming to my world. And right now, you see, I mean, when I'm on stage, I have people that back in the days were like really, really, and I mean really teasing me, really calling me bad names. They are the audience just like really applauding, like, and they're listening, you know. To tell you the truth, if it wasn't for music, I don't know where I could have been today, seriously.
And when did you start writing lyrics?
When I was 8.
When you were 8?
Yeah, because my father, once again, he was really strict to us, and, like, he was always, like, telling us, you have to know where you come from, you have to stand for your rights, and he played us a song of Public Enemy. It was Fight the Power, and from that day, I was like, wow, I was blessed. I just saw the sign, because I really admired how these guys could really, like, say so much in a song.
Your father's a pretty unique guy.
What he had knowledge, and he had music, you know, and if you put those two together, that's a beautiful thing.
It's power. So at 8 years old, you actually used to write raps,
right? I started really singing but then I found out that I was really good at singing. I had a bad voice for it, and then plus I wanted to say so much more because I was writing these lyrics, yeah. And don't think it was, like, you know, really major lyrics. I was, like, actually taking some bars from Public Enemy, some bars from the Wu-Tang and stuff like that. But I made it to my own, though. But I just found out that it's too much to, like, sing in a melody. So that's why I started rapping.
So did you go to, like, was it a day school or a boarding school? What type of high school was it?
It was, like, a day school.
And how was your relationship, like, with the girls? How was your relationship with the boys in Norway?
Well, I didn't have much luck with the boys. yeah, I didn't at all. But somehow at that time I didn't have my swag on, so that really didn't work. And with girls, yeah, I had a couple friends. Okay, like, because when I turned 9, this Ugandan family moved to the city. And then I got to, you know, I was just hanging with them, though. But I was really, like, a quiet girl. I mean, I wanted to be mostly alone, to tell you the truth.
So you're pretty much an introvert who just used to write lyrics all the time.
Yeah, I was, like, really stuck in my own world because, like, as I told you, when I found music, it made me, like, create my own world. And it was actually just me and music. I used to play and, like, you know, jump around and stuff like that. But I really didn't have, like, a really big, you know, friend crowd. And mostly I was actually hanging with my sister. I was a bug to my sister. Yeah. So I was really just hanging with her. And she was actually, you know, the one that really taught me to rap. She was the one that, you know, that gave me all these stage names. Because I remember she used to call herself Checkpoint or something like that. And then all of a sudden, the next day, I'm like, yeah, I'm Checkpoint 2. And so she called herself for something with money to do. And so I did the same thing, you know. So I was really just doing whatever she did. And then finally, you know, 5 years ago, it's only 5 years ago when she told me, like, hey, listen, just call yourself Stella and do your own thing. And then I say, come on, but Stella is so boring. I'm like, I need like a stage name. And then she said, okay, just call yourself STL. I'm like, okay. So from then, I haven't, like, you know, been really following after her.
All right.
Yeah.
So how did you do in school, like in the books and stuff? Were you all right at that?
I was good. Yeah. I was actually really good. I am a clever girl. So it went pretty, you know, pretty smooth. But the thing is that, if there wasn't so much, you know, racism, because I really didn't like myself at school. I was really, like, skipping and stuff and going home and just, like, listening to Public Enemy, basically, mm-hmm. You know. But when my father found that out, I was like, okay, I'll go to school. So basically, I mean, like, I didn't really like myself at school because of the atmosphere there, you know, because of the people, because of all these name callings, because I felt like I was this, like, this really, you know, the black sheep, you see? So I wasn't comfortable there.
So when you finished high school, was that it for your education? You just immediately went into the music, or did you go to university?
Yeah. No. I immediately just went to the studio and just, like, say, this is it. This is what I want to do. So I just wanted to get myself a job, like, real quick. And so I did. I got myself a job as being a chef somewhere. I'm like, and so I was working there part-time. Then part-time I just came home and just like, continued to rap, to write music and stuff like that.
And was there any pressure from your father, like, to do something other than the music?
No. My father has always been like, as long as you know who you are, that's all you need to know. If you are not the one to be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, you do you. And I really love my parents for that, because, you know, they've never, like, pushed me to something that they think I should do.
And so you finish high school and now you're in the real world. You're working as a chef. Were you a different person? Did people relate to you differently now that you're a chef part-time and a singer part-time?
Yeah, I mean, you get all these things like, okay, so you really think you're going to be like the next Tina Turner? Oh my God, so why are you working here? I'm like, it's difficult having a dream, though. It is, because you get all these people telling you stuff, telling you what what you can and what you cannot, you know? So it's always hard having a dream. It's always hard having something that's...
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm getting at?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So quit. I quit, and then, you know, because I had saved up some money, because I was really working, like, day and night at the chef, yeah?
Yep.
At the hotel. I knew what I wanted to do, so I basically just saved up some money, and then actually, this is only last year. Last year, I went straight to the office to my boss and told him, you know what, I quit. I quit, and when I went, I mean, like, you don't know the feeling, because I walked out that door, like, feeling like, wow. And I have people, like, telling me, are you crazy? What the hell are you supposed to do now, you know? I say, you wait and see.
And from that time on, you dedicated yourself to the music full time.
Yeah, 100%. And it's such a great feeling just doing what you want to do. And that is what I'm doing right now, yeah.
Do you remember the first time you were ever on stage?
Yeah. I was so excited. Yeah, the first time was because actually when my father had his lessons for us, this Kikuyu lessons for us, he used to teach us Kenyan songs, like African songs too. And so we were supposed to perform these songs in different schools, you see? So I got to stand on the stage like pretty early when I was about eight, nine years old. So that's actually from then, that's when I really realized that, I mean, like, I had all the attention to me. Like, all of a sudden, I didn't have to, like, listen to people calling me stuff, you know, looking at people, really looking at me really weird. They just wanted to listen to the music. So that's when I was like, okay, this is what I wanted to do. And when I was 11 years old was the first time I was on stage rapping, and I was so excited. I had so much to say. I was like so excited. I was like, yeah. So yeah, I love being on stage.
All right. And how did the people react to you? Like, those, did you ever have like any bad experiences in the early days, or was it all good from day one?
All good from day one.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So you've quit as a chef, and now you're going to do this thing full time. So you had already started going to the studio part time, hadn't you, at that point?
Yeah, of course I had. I mean, like, I was doing a lot of things. I was still writing songs and I was still performing. And in 2005, I just decided to go to Kenya, you know, stay there like for 3 months and just like see how the music business is there. So I didn't have like a full time job though. I was like substitute, or whatever you call it, in many different places. So I just took free for 3 months, and then I just went to Kenya. And then when I got back, I was like, okay, let me just get myself a full-time job so I can just save up money and quit. So I had it all in my head. I mean, that's the thing with people who have dreams. They have a plan, and they know exactly what to do, and that's basically what I did and what I'm doing.
And did you have to pay for the studio time, or did you know a producer or...
I know a producer, and he's the one that I'm working with now. I've worked with him for 5 years now.
Okay. So
yeah.
Did you start in high school or after high school, working together?
I started high school.
Okay. So you must have a lot of singles out by now.
Yeah, of course. I mean, now we're working on the album, so I mean, it's really nice to work with someone that you work with for such a long time, because it's just like really basically going to the studio, and then we both know what we are looking for, you know?
All right, and how did you start to push your music out there? How did that work?
I was just like going to Oslo, the capital city of Norway, and then just like, you know, being, I mean, like rapping on all these contests and summer jams and getting to know other rappers, other artists, basically just like that, the normal stuff. There's not a cookbook to it. I mean, you just have to mingle along.
So this is pretty much day in, day out, going for contests
Yeah.
after show after show.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was looking like at your MySpace page and like the list of things that you have coming up like in the next 2 months. I'm thinking,
Yeah.
dang, do you that
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, but it's first now because I got a booking agency in December, so now at least I don't have to make all the phone calls, all the running around. Now I can just like concentrate on the music, and that's the best thing ever.
Wow. So for 4 years, it was just you always on the phone, no one else.
Yeah, I was going around and like just like, you know, basically just like if I saw like a show coming up, or if I saw like this rapper from the States was supposed to have a show here in Oslo, I basically just called the arrangers and just begged them basically if I could warm up for the act. You see, I was doing this all the time. Yeah.
The power of just asking.
Yeah. You just have to ask and you shall receive. So basically that's what I did.
All right, so you went to Kenya in 2005, then you went back in 2006, and I'm assuming that's when you went with Taking It Back and your single
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
All right, so how did that work out? You'd had enough of Oslo and you wanted to go and try out stuff in Kenya for a while. Had you planned
Yeah,
that?
yeah.
Okay.
No, you know, okay, like, it was in my plan because I knew I had to do something, you see? Because, first of all, there's not a lot of female rappers here. Actually, yeah, I think I'm the only one here in Norway rapping as
Wow.
a female artist, yeah.
The only woman and you're African. Pretty good double combination.
Yeah, I know. It's really good. And then, yeah, but I mean, in 2005, I just wanted to like, I mean, just like have a change to learn more, because I felt like, I mean, there's a limit of what you can learn of just staying at one place. So I just woke up one day and I told my producer, okay, I'm going to Kenya. It's like, huh? And then I told my mom, and they were like, why? Why? And I'm like, I don't know. I just want to go. So I actually just went, you know, yeah. Before I went there, like a month, I called my cousin up and told him to send me all the hit songs that were in Kenya at that time, so I could just like know what I'm coming to. So he sent me. I'm like, wow, okay. Because I remember I love this particular girl, Michelle. She's the one singing on the Take It Back. And I told my cousin, wow, okay, I have to do a collab with her. And she was, at that time, she was this really big shot. I mean, like, she had this mega hit song and things were really going smooth for her. So when I came to Kenya, the first thing that I did, I told my cousin, okay, let's find Michelle, because I need her on a song that I have, because I just written the Take It Back there. I mean, like, 3 years ago, yeah. And so, yeah, and he has to be asking and you should receive part. So he just called her and she was so positive about it. Because I, you know, people were like, Michelle, how the hell are you going to get Michelle? I'm like, okay, let's just call her. And then she was so positive. You know, she just came to the apartment. She wrote the chorus like within like 5 minutes. I'm like, wow. Here I am sitting with a, you know, big celebrity in Kenya, and she was like so down to earth. So, yeah, I mean, so back to your question. I just decided I just go to Kenya, and that's what I did. You
Yeah.
know, that's what I did.
And
You just have to do
how did
so.
people treat you now that because you were coming in as someone who's clearly not a Kenyan, right? You have a very different identity. So, like, did that cause
Yeah.
any friction, or how did people treat you?
Yeah, it did. I remember that I had this song that I went with that I just recorded called Get Ready. Yeah. So, and then me and my cousin, we went to all the radio stations in Kenya. They were like, okay, so do you think really you're Kenyan? I mean, like, first of all, you have to rap in Swahili. They were like really giving me this hard time. I remember. No one wanted to play my song. So that's when I thought, okay, I have to do something here. So I asked my cousin, okay, so who is the guy that I can do like a collab with, like a known artist here, another known artist in Kenya? Because like in order to like get accepted, you have to like make a song with someone that's known there or something like that. So that's what I did with Kantai. And that's when we did the happy song. And then, you know, when I did the happy song with him, suddenly all the radio stations wanted to know everything about me. So it's like that. But at first, yeah, it was hard because people are like, okay, so you really think you're Kenyan? I mean, you're coming here as a Norwegian all of a sudden, and then you're going to, like, give us music, you know?
Wow. But you kept on going.
I kept on going. You don't know. It was so hard. And, like, because, I mean, the whole trip came from my pocket, you know? And the first week, yeah, we're eating meat, you know? But the rest of the 2.5 months, it was all about spinach. So I even lost weight. And then there was a time I was like thinking, like, okay, what the hell am I really doing? You know, I should you know, go back to Norway, start working, and, like, you know, get a hold of myself. But then I woke up the next day, I'm like, okay, let's do this. You see, I mean, that's the beauty of, you know, of life, though, because you will meet, like, what would you call it? You will meet, like, hard times, and, like, you will feel like giving up. But the beauty of it is just waking up the next day and forgetting what you had. I mean, like, you know, forgetting the bad thoughts of giving up. I mean, just wake up and, like, you back on it, you see? So that's what I did in Kenya. And when I came back from Kenya to Norway, that's when my cousin, he called me, and then he said, wow, okay, you nominated for the most promising artist. I'm like, woohoo, okay. But, you know, but nothing comes easy, and whatever comes easy, you know, it goes out easy. So it's best when you're working really hard and, like, get to taste that struggle, because then the, you know, the payment is so sweet, you know? And that's what I basically got from Kenya, the award. And it's a beautiful thing. I have it here in my room. I see it all the time. When I have bad days or when I feel so uninspired, I just look at it. I'm like, okay, I have to move on.
All right. And how long were you in Kenya when you went back in 2006?
Yeah, I was in Kenya in 2005 from November to January, and then I went back in March to June. Oh. Yeah.
Did you do a lot of live shows back in Kenya?
No, because actually, when I was in Kenya, no one really, like, paid any attention to me. No one really wanted to listen to my music. No one. You know, I didn't get a lot of boosts or anything because it was a really hard time because, you know, promoting these songs and, okay, who are you? Who is Stella? I mean, okay, you're coming from Norway. Who do you think you are? So basically, those 6 months was just struggle. But when I came back to Norway in 2006, in June, that's when my cousin, he called me up and said, okay, so you're nominated. I'm like, huh? Yeah. And when I was in Kenya, no one even cared, you know, so it's a weird thing. So actually, I didn't get to do a lot of stage performance. Okay, I did one, and that was in December in 2005. It was for this, car competition or something like that. I really can't remember. But, you know, no one had heard of me, nothing. So basically, the crowd was, like, just looking like, okay, who is she, you know?
How was that? How did that feel?
I think that was the hardest crowd ever. Seriously. Because, you know, I got this feeling like, okay, here in Kenya, okay, there's a competition here, okay? There's a really big competition. And that's what I really thank God that I really went back to Kenya and got to, like, have a taste of that. Because I just realized that if I didn't, like, give all my best, I don't even know. People could have been, like, really, like, throwing garbage at me, seriously. So when I was on stage, I just felt, okay, shit, okay. I was just looking at people. I was like, okay, here I really have to give all my best because people really don't want to listen to bullshit. So basically, I just gave my all. And, you know, when I went off stage, you know, people were like, okay, let's just wait and see what she has next. So, yeah.
So you left Kenya, came back to Norway. And how have things been since, now that you're doing this full time?
Nothing has really changed because I'm still doing music, but now it's my full-time job.
And it's paying the bills?
Yeah, of course. I get to pay the bills because I have some shows. So I'm still paying the bills. But it's a struggle being an artist because it's taking a risk because nothing is assured. I mean, there's no, like, school and guarantee that you're going to make it. It's a big risk that actually every artist has to take. So every month when it's time to pay the bills, I'm like, okay, yikes. But you know, eventually things work out though. Things work out at the last moment.
And like now you wake up in the morning, I'm assuming, and feel like, you know, I'm doing what I was supposed to do. And
yeah, it's such a great feeling.
And now that you're like an artist and all of that, like, do people treat you better now?
You know, now the thing is that you don't know who is supporting you, who is loving you, who is after you, you know? Now it's like, it's a man eat man, you know? When you finally, life is really weird, you know, because like when you have a dream, okay, and then you tell people about it, people will just like give you doubts. They'll like tell you things like, oh my God, who do you think you are? You get no support at all. But when, you know, when you do achieve the dream, then you have all these people around you all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden you can't even tell the difference from who is who any longer. I mean, you can't even tell the difference from if they're supporting you or if they're just like after breaking you down.
What do the people who break you down, how do they do it? The people who try to break you down?
You don't know. That's the thing.
Okay.
You really don't know who is after doing what when you really start achieving things.
Okay. And like, if you could give like one word of advice, like to anyone like who wants to come over to Norway from Kenya now, like just so that something that to make the experience better, what would you say would be?
You know, right now, Norway is a good country to live. It's a good country to grow up, because like now you have people from Pakistan, you have people from, I'm like, you know, from all over the world. But when, you know, back in 91, it was like, oh, taboo coming from another country. But now it's like, I mean, now it's all good. I have a baby sister that's 8 years old, and I keep asking her, like, oh my God, okay, so what happened in school today? Did someone call you something? Did someone, you know, because I'm a little bit old school, and she'd be like, Stella, chill. It's all good. You see, so things have changed.
See, people are much more tolerant and respectful of guys from other cultures.
Of course, yeah.
Ah, cool. Well, thank you so much, Stella. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me do this interview. It's all good. And yeah, spread all love and play my music.
This has been the Displaced African Podcast. The Displaced African is the African immigrant's personal development blog. You can find it at www.thedisplacedafrican.com.